We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is a Locker Room production.
And we are back on part two of our bonus content. Enjoy.
All right, let's get into another topic. We talked about Thanksgiving. Let's get into training camp battles.
And we thank you, Eli, question for joining.
Thank you, Eli.
We had a question from Lucas. I don't want to say this is a battle, but this is a good question. So he said, what do you think the timeshare between Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift will look like?
Oh, okay. I think it's just, who's the hot hand? And I think they're going to use them both very versatile, like the game. Like, I think both guys are going to be used a very, you know, good share in a game. Like, I think if we go back to the Packers offense, let's just, different offense, but let's just go back to the Packers offense when they had Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. There were certain times where they had certain play packages for Jamal Williams, and they had certain times for certain packages for Aaron Jones. I feel like Anthony Lynn is going to have a similar mix like that with Swift and Jamal Williams. And I think Swift is kind of a somewhat comparable back to an Aaron Jones. Like, Aaron Jones was the 1A in Green Bay, and I think Swift is our 1A in Detroit. And then with Jamal, I think he's just the perfect complement for, you know, most running backs in the NFL. So I think Jamal Williams will be a very perfect complement for a guy like DeAndre Swift, and a guy that the Lions really just needed for him, a guy that could get a decent amount of carries, a guy who could start in a game. I think in a game, a normal game, where both guys are healthy, I think the plan for a guy like Swift and Williams, I think we could look for Williams to maybe get, I would say, 10 to 11 carries a game, I feel like, is possible for a guy like Jamal Williams.
Do you remember Melvin Gordon's last year with LA or San Diego?
With Eckler, right? Yes.
And then you remember Eckler?
Yes.
So Anthony Lynn was the OC, and Eckler kind of, like, went crazy that year.
Yeah.
And then you kind of like just, I think that's how it's going to be in Detroit. It's going to be like, so it's going to be Eckler. And then Williams is kind of going to be like your Melvin Gordon type of player.
Yeah. So how many carries do you expect him to get, like, a game? Like, if you had to average it, I know it's going
to be, if I had to like guess, I would say 70% would go to Jamal or DeAndre Swift and about 30% to Jamal Williams. Is that good? Or maybe 65, 35, something like that?
So anywhere from like 6 to 9, 10 carries-ish for Jamal Williams?
Yeah, but if he's hot, obviously you ride him because that's just the way football works.
I agree with that. Who do you think has more touchdowns by the end of the year?
I think Swift, because Swift is more dynamic.
Or rushing touchdowns, I should say.
I still think it's Swift because he's more dynamic.
Fair enough.
Nothing against Jamal Williams, but I just think Swift is... Bro, the thing with Swift is last year he was like, they didn't use him right, and he was hurt. Imagine him being healthy.
We saw glimpses of Swift.
He's electric when he's healthy.
Yeah, he is. We saw glimpses of it last year too, like in certain games.
It's very hard to cover him one-on-one. His route running, like, for like as a first-year back, was really good, and his pass pro improved. I think he's going to take off this year. He has to stay healthy, though. That's the number one thing with running backs.
So you think he has the potential to be a bell cow?
Yes, and they said that too. I believe Deuce Daly said it. Like, they do think he could, like, carry carry the rock. Like, I would have, like, what do they say, 20 or 30 touches, was it, or 25 touches a game?
I forgot what they said.
They said something like that in their introductory press conference.
I could see him being a bell cow. I think he's going to be like our Alvin Kamara.
Yeah,
like,
Alvin Kamara, Austin like, Eckler, you know.
Like, you know, like how guys. they always had another guy behind him. Like, Kamara's always had, like, Latavius Murray.
Or how about Kamara and Mark Ingram? That could kind of Swift and Williams, right?
Or even Murray and Kamara, either one. Like, you know, they've always had someone, like, behind a Kamara. And I feel like that's what Jamal is going to be for a guy like Swift.
Yeah, Malcolm, what do you think?
I'm just hoping and praying it's not like the way Patricia used these guys. The way Patricia used these backs,
oh my god,
it was idiotic. It was idiotic and it was just stupid. He pretty much took him. He played guy by series. You have one guy play two series, no matter if he's hot or not, take him out. Put another guy in two series. Don't care if he's hot or not, take him out. Put another guy in. It was just so dumb. And, like, even the guy who was hot in the first quarter probably didn't get another carry to the third quarter, which was idiotic. Right. So as long as they don't do it like that, I'll be happy. And I do think they may ride the hot hand. The thing is, I really want to see it because I don't know if they're going to just say, okay, you're going to be my 1A and you're going to be my 1B, and we're going to split the carries 50-50 and both of you guys are going to run this rock. Or they're going to just look at what you guys said and say, okay, DeAndre Swift, you're our guy, you know, carry the load. And then when you're tired, you know, we could spell Williams in there from time to time.
Yeah.
So what I'm hoping is that they have some type of identity and do it that way. That way, you know, if Swift is a guy, he's gonna have time to get hot. You know what I don't want is him, you know, get 2-3 carries, take him out the game, and then take 2-3 carries or 3-4 carries and take him out the game, and then that way these guys don't get hot. They don't have a rhythm. So yeah. I hope they do it that way. That they tell Swift, look, you're the guy. Let's get these yards, and whenever you're tired, we can just sub what's his name in.
Jamal Williams. You know, another thing with Jamal Williams is people forget that he's actually a solid receiver out of the backfield. Like, the Lions have a running back, two running backs that could both catch the ball and run the ball.
And pass block.
And pass block. So that's a huge, plus. Because remember when AP was on the field, it would mostly be a run. And when Swift was mostly a pass.
Swift was a pass, bro. Yeah.
It's so dumb.
When you have two backs like Swift and Williams, you don't really know what you're going to do. You could run it. You could pass it. You know?
Yeah. And you could put both of them at the same time, I feel like, in certain packages.
In a shotgun?
Ooh, I actually want to see that. I want to see that. I do want to see
two running back sets on the field. I love two running back sets. Both in the backfield.
21.
I do say this.
Yes.
I do say this. Pierre, I kind of disagree with you as far as who's going to get the most rushing touchdown. I do feel like Williams may outscore Swift in the rushing touchdown stat.
I think only because
I think it's gonna be neck to neck probably. But I do think they're gonna probably use Williams more in the goal line situation if they.
Well, you know, like last year though, when Swift, like, he's smaller, but he was our best short distance back though.
Oh, I mean, because he was the best one.
But AP could cash in. Like, a little smaller doesn't mean you still can't get that extra hard yard. Because Swift is really good at making people miss in space.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like just watching Jamal Williams' game in Green Bay, I feel like he's always been that guy where they really relied on him, like in the red zone. And I know fantasy owners, if you're at Aaron Jones, which it was me, you get so frustrated when you see a guy like Jamal Williams in the red zone. You're like, damn, Aaron Jones got you all the way down the field, and you put Jamal Williams on the 20-yard line.
He's 230.
It was always him, I feel like, cashing in like the rushing touchdowns.
He's a big back.
Yeah, I mean, he gets yards too. So I understand the philosophy of putting a guy like Williams on.
We have another question from Lucas, and I think after this we could close it off. Nope. Lucas says, do you guys think Hawk will lead the team in targets?
I'll say yes.
Malcolm?
I'm going to say no.
Who is it?
No. Who is it? Who leads the team in targets?
In targets? I think it's going to be it's going to be between For some reason, I think it'll be between St. Brown or Swift.
Okay. If you had to pick one out of those, gun to your head, who are you picking? St. Brown or Swift?
I'm gonna say St. Brown. I think St. Brown is gonna have a really good rookie year. I feel like he's gonna have a really, really good rookie year, and I think that he could lead the league and the team in targets. Hawk, I have to see more from Hawk, man, for him to lead the team in targets. That's a big task. I think he's gonna have.
You're asking for a rookie amount. Right now. You're asking for a rookie
to lead
the team. I am. But this, he's going to be working from the slot, and I'm picturing him more like how Danny Amendola was with us. I'm picturing that with St. Brown.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, but when you like St. Brown, he's always been working a lot with Goff and stuff, and I think they said, like, was it Goff? I don't know who said it, but they kind of like Goff sort of views him as like a Cooper Kupp type of player. Like, they're getting a lot of chemistry down together. Goff is teaching him a lot of things.
Yeah, now, so, I think with Hawk, I think teams are going to zone in on Hawk, and Hawk is going to have to find a way to beat people when he's being game planned.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen with Hawk, but I also think when you enter that third year is when you take that big jump. Like, Darius Slay took that big jump his third year. Who else?
I think he's going to have a phenomenal year. I'm not saying I just think he's going to have more eyes on him because when you're looking at the team – as a passing threat, he's the main guy. So I think teams are going to zone in. He's going to be seeing a lot of more double teams. So, he's going to have his fair share of good games. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he's going to be bad. I just think because of that, there's going to be less eyes on the rookie in the slot. That's the only reason why I'm going with either him or more passes in the backfield for Swift, getting or lining Swift up against a linebacker. I could see them taking opportunity that way as well.
Yeah, if I had to guess right now, though, and like if Hawk could stay healthy, obviously health's important. I think Hawk will be the team in receiving yards and targets and touchdowns, like receiving touchdowns. If I had to guess right now,
so
we're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Do you think we have a 1,000-yard receiver this year?
Ooh.
That's Malcolm. The thing
including
is,
Hawk.
Our receivers,
including
when you
Hawk.
Look at our receivers, they've all, other than St. Brown, like the starters, they've all dealt with injuries. Tyrell Williams has dealt with injuries. Rashard Perriman has dealt with injuries. They've also dealt with a lot of inconsistencies. TJ Hawks is entering his third year, but like he's been relatively healthy for his career for the most part.
Outside of that one, that hurdle play.
Outside of week, kind of like the, what was it, his first year, right?
Yeah, his rookie year, yep.
Yeah, so these guys, I mean, if Hawk could stay healthy, and like I think he's obviously going to improve his game. He also has like his head coach was a tight ends coach. That helps him too. I think that's actually big. When your head coach is a tight ends coach, I think they're going to like focus on getting him better. Like, his development is really important for this team going forward.
I will say no, though. We don't have a 100-yard receiver. A thousand-yard receiver. I don't think we have one this year.
It's possible they don't, because they didn't like the Colts a couple years ago. Like, they had a bunch of guys with, like, 500-600 yards. They didn't really have a 1,000-yard receiver.
I think it's just going to be spread out all over. I don't think we're going to have, like, a one guy like that.
If remember how we talked guy, about like the Colts Hawkinson. Last year? We, like, we said they had a good running game, good O-line. The receivers were solid. They didn't really have, like, a true number one.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of how the Lions are, but I think Hawk is, like, a number one. He just needs to be healthy, and he needs to learn how to break tackles, if I'm being honest.
I wish we had that Colts defense.
The thing is with the Colts, I mean, the, yeah, they didn't have a 1,000-yard receiver, but they had, like, a 1,200-yard running back. So I guess it kind of balanced it out that, you know, they had that running game with that offense. So
yeah,
if we don't get a 1,000-yard receiver, hopefully, you know, we have some type of balance in our running game. Let's take us we can rely on the running game to lead this offense, because I don't know.
Yeah, another thing is too, I think like teams are gonna dare to try to pass. I mean, they're gonna stack the box. We know you're gonna run the ball. I dare you to pass it. Because like when you look at the identity of this football team, the O-line is strong, the receivers are not as strong, the backs are good, the quarterback is like decent. So I think they're gonna dare teams to pass the ball. I mean, dare us to pass the ball.
I mean, they could.
You look at it, bro. Like, who really scares you on the Lions, like, receivers? Like, Hawkinson, sure, Swift, sure. After that, like, Tyrell Williams, Breshard. Yeah, Perriman is fast. Williams is, like...
No one scares you, though.
Like, it's no guy like... really, like... It's not like a guy you circle, oh, we're game planning for this guy. That's probably only Hawkinson and Swift, if we're being honest.
And no, yeah. If we're not counting the offensive line, we can say that right now. But it just takes one breakout player, bro.
It does. Obviously, like, St. Brown could have a big year. Cephas can maybe improve. Like, a lot of things have to happen, though. It's not like we have, like, a Julio Jones or a Calvin Johnson or, you know, we don't really have, like, a guy, like, that's proven yet. That's proven to be a number one that could carry a team when they need you. Could Hawk beat it? I think he could, but he hasn't shown it yet.
There's going to be certain game plans in certain weeks where we're going to circle a guy maybe on this Lions team, or like defensive coordinators will circle a guy on the Lions, because just going back, like, this guy's not the greatest receiver by any means, but like it was a guy that I was scared to death with when we played the Panthers. I remember specifically I circled all around Curtis Samuel. This is obviously
he destroyed us.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a legitimate defensive coordinator. This is me talking out of my ass. But if I had to assume when the Lions are game planning for the Panthers, you're always going to have some certain guys you're going to circle it for. It might not always be that superstar or that star. You're going to have some guys that are just going to have good matchups on you. And that could potentially happen with the Lions this year when they play opposing teams. Like, maybe a team, they have a nickel corner who's not great with route runners. Maybe, you know, they will circle the game plan on Amon-Ra St. Brown. If he shows he could have, you know, a good start to the season or whatever, you know what I mean? There's going to be certain weeks where maybe the Lions could have certain mismatches where defensive coordinators are like, oh, we have to circle in on this guy or something like that. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it just takes that one player.
Yeah, yeah, obviously, yeah. I mean, there's always a guy that's going to have a certain advantage or disadvantage when you're playing certain defenses. It's all varies by week, and that's why we always say let's take it week by week, because it really is a week by week, you know, sport, and you got to take every matchup week by week, because you can't forward think in the NFL more than 1 week, in my opinion. It's just that week, and that's it. You can't start predicting. That's just me. Because, you know, you don't know who's going to be on the field and, you know, what, like, adjustments you're going to make. It's a week by week sport, man. You can't think too forward down the line in the NFL.
And, you know, one thing I love, like, about Dan Campbell, he talked about, like, how if they think they have a mismatch, they're just going to keep attacking
and exploit it,
defense or something. Versus Patricia, bro, we talked about this a lot.
Oh, that fucking guy.
They rarely did that. Like, we circled corners who attacked. We said, like, which O-line to put your best D-lineman on or whatever. They just rarely did that. I feel like Campbell's actually going to do that. Like, he's going to attack weaknesses.
The thing with Patricia was he was very stuck
on my way.
Yeah, right. It was very, like, stuck on the terminologies like that. We're going to play this way the whole season, and that's it. And yeah,
no matter what.
That's fine for certain matchups. Like, Patricia's terminology is going to work for certain matchups. Not very many, but it's going to work for certain matchups. But when you run that same terminology for every single team in the NFL, it's just idiotic, because no team in the NFL is very similar to another team. Everybody's different to a certain degree. Everyone's got a quirk or a twist to their team. And the thing with Patricia, he just had that mentality. He's like, we're going to run the team that we run on the team every single week. We're not changing or adjusting. And it's just – that's just not how the NFL works, unfortunately. Like, you have to adjust to every week. I mean, I think it's pretty sad when we are doing previews on this team every year and we could almost somewhat pinpoint mismatches or something the Lions could exploit this week. Right. But the Lions did the same thing every single week. And we'll even say it's like, you know, the Lions should attack the eight gap because, you know, whatever team they're playing this week is not great against stopping the run of the eight gap.
Or attack this corner. He's not good.
Yeah, or attack this corner, run on the edges. It's always the same game plan every single week with Patricia, and it just came so predictable. That's why it doesn't result in many wins. When you're stuck on one terminology and one plan, you're not going to win many ball games like that.
I think you mean ideology, right? Not terminology, ideology.
Ideology, sorry, yes.
No, you're good, yeah.
Fucking Patricia, man.
Yeah, it's just like when you stick to one thing, it's just, you know, it's – what do they call it? Insanity? If you stick to one thing and keep trying to, like, expect different results, it's insanity.
It's stubborn. It's called stubbornness. Like, failing to change. You're just – you know, bro, like
– I don't know.
When I heard
just
that
– about Patricia Campbell
in his presser, I was like, we've been talking about this for the past 3 years, and it's about damn time we're going to start exploiting weaknesses.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard. I mean, like, you're not always going to win every game by exploiting weakness because the team could always adjust, obviously, as well.
They could also exploit your weakness. Like,
that's what I'm saying, yeah. Like you're not going to win every game just because you're going to exploit, like,
no, but it gives you a better chance.
Exactly. That's all I'm trying to say. Like, I just didn't think that was that hard to switch up your game plan every week. I don't know. It was just very straightforward. This is what the Lions are going to do, and that's it. We're not changing.
I mean, they did exploit weaknesses, but they didn't do it as much as they should. Like, they did it a little.
You saw it somewhere here and there.
Right. I mean, it's the NFL. You have to exploit weaknesses, but they didn't do it as much as we thought they should. It wasn't like – it was like, attack this corner. Why are you keep running the ball when this team has a number one ranked run defense? Like, what the hell are we doing here?
Or it felt like it would take a month for, like, a switch up on defense or an offense. Like, it was like the same thing. We're going to do it for a few amount of weeks. If it doesn't work, we'll switch it up. Like, you remember the first couple weeks last year with the man defense was like 80%, 70%. They finally switched it up. It was
at the bye week.
A little before that. Like, week 3 versus the Cardinals is when they remember started to go a little more zone. But it took them 2 weeks when you got killed with your man coverage. There was just no switch up. It's just, I don't get it, man.
They never learned how to stop crossing routes all year. All 3 years,
yeah. Doesn't matter who was on the field.
I think AG and AP, Aaron Glenn and Aubrey Pleasant, like, they're going to get that fixed. Obviously, it might take some time because these players are like new terminologies. They're young corners. But I think, like, by week 5 to, like, week 7-ish, I think we'll start seeing on, like, a lot better fundamentally, because it's always hard learning a new scheme. You have younger players, and you got to remember these guys were playing for Patricia, so it's different schemes. Everything's different.
Yeah, I mean, no one's saying this on your fakes.
I don't see these. I don't see the team playing much man coverage now next year.
I actually do. They play like a lot of split safety looks, so a lot of like two man, not like cover one, but you'll see like man coverage, but with two safeties on top of you. So if you get beat, you should be protected with two safeties on top of you. A lot of cover two, I'm expecting, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah. All right. I think with that being said, I think that's a wrap. You guys got anything else to add?
Nope. That's it. Welcome.
No, I'm good, bro.
Okay. That turned out to be fun. That was a fun podcast, boys. Talking some Lions full capacity, talking how me and other fellow Middle Easterns can't get out of Thanksgiving to go watch the Lions live. I mean, Malcolm is stuck in Florida for Thanksgiving. Like, that was fun, I'm boys. Stuck. That was a lot of fun. Not stuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was fun, though. And then, you know, just breaking down some Lions and our excitement for the new staff coming in. You know, it's going to be a fun time. And, You know, you're starting to smell football a little more. You know, we're only 60 days out now from week one for the Lions. And, you know, you're kind of sniffing fall time and football time. And I love summertime right now, but you know, nothing beats the fall when football is on. And Sunday mornings, you just hear the Fox music or the CBS music or the NFL Network, wherever you're watching. It's just, it's so much fun and nothing beats the NFL season. So, you know, it's obviously we're super excited, all three of us, and obviously all Lions fans and just NFL fans in general. It's the best time of the year, and I can't wait. But with that being said, hope you guys all enjoyed, and we'll be back later this week on Spotify Green Room. So if you guys can't listen live, you could always rewind if you're doing that right now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever the hell you listen to your podcast. But I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. I'm out.
All right, y'all. It's your boy Malcolm, man. Just as Tyler was saying how excited he is, I got some exciting news about the pod. When the season starts, when the games are rolling, we're actually going to go twice a day on Sunday before, an hour before and an hour after the game. We're going to do a little pregame. We're going to talk about the inactives, and then we're going to have our postgame. We're going to talk about our immediate reaction of the game. So definitely tune in for that once that starts rolling. And I'm out, guys. I'm out. Peace out. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.